tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, amma ba'd fa'audhi billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another wonderful episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And inshallah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss an important subject matter. And as we know, that we have become Muslim by reading the kalima of our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sacrifices that he had to go through for the sake of spreading Islam, the persecution that he and his sahaba, his Ahlul Bayt, his family, they suffered on the hands of the cruel people of Quraysh and Makkah. And one of those sacrifices of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the key point of his life where he had to migrate, he had to forsake his own homeland and take refuge in another city, Allahu Akbar. Yes, and we are talking about the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm not alone, I'm in the blessed company of our guest, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Alhamdulillah Sayyidi, marhaba and welcome to the program. And let's inshallah begin with the recitation of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. If you have studied the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would know that after there came a time when the people of Makkah, they persecuted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahaba, his family, even boycotted them to such an extent where there was starvation, Allahu Akbar. And it was during these trying times that many of the Sahaba from Medina Munawwara, they would come to Makkah Mukarramah and they would embrace Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once Medina Munawwara became a safe haven, meaning a place of refuge for Muslims, the renowned Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed all of his companions to migrate to Medina from Makkah Mukarramah. The first to migrate was Sayyidina Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then other people also departed from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. When the disbelievers of the Quraysh became aware of it, they started obstructing this migration and they started stopping the Muslims to leave Makkah Mukarramah and then settle in Medina Munawwara. Within a period of time, many companions reached Medina Munawwara. Only those Muslims remained in Makkah who were either imprisoned by the disbelievers or were too poor to migrate. As the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not yet received the divine command of migration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still remained in Makkah. He also prevented Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhumah from leaving. Hence, these two devoted companions also stayed with him in Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyidi, one is, you are torturing the people of your own city.
Right.
And then when they want to leave and lead a peaceful life, even then the You are so cold-hearted, Allah, that you don't Allah want them to have a peaceful life, even if it means going and staying elsewhere. In this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba leaving Makkah Mukarramah because of their ill behavior, ill treatment, and going and settling down in Medina Munawwara.
And of course, Masab, this was not something, of course, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah towards Madinatul Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, felt that pain because the city of Makkah was so beloved to him. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 53 years of his life in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And in these 53 years that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Makkah, even before he could announce his prophethood, even before he could announce his nubuwwah, the people already knew him as the most honest, the most trustworthy. Al-Amin wa-Sadiq. The most trustworthy. People already knew him by this. And yet the kuffar of Makkah, they would, you know, call him a magician, they would call him a madman, they would inflict pain on him, they would put thorns in his on his pathway, they would cause him so much of difficulties. And yet, you know, this was the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine how much, you know, of strength to leave your birthplace, to leave your hometown, and to go towards another city. You know, it's not something that is so easy. And as we know from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah and he turns back and he looks at the beautiful city of Makkah and he says, "Oh Makkah, I would love to always reside in you. I would always love to stay in the city. But because of my nation, because, you know, of the kuffar of Makkah, the amount of pain they inflicted upon me, etc., I have to leave you." You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Makkah al-Mukarramah. If nowadays someone had to be put into such a situation, and the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something for us to learn from. So if someone of today's time is to be put into such a situation where they have to migrate from one place to another, leaving their hometown, leaving their birthplace, going to a total foreign city, a total foreign area, first of all, that takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of strength, and also together with it, one has to place their full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Yes, it is not an easy feat. See, the people relocate, you know.
Yeah.
They leave their hometown, they go to another city, another country altogether, maybe another continent.
Yes.
Yes, at times. And all of this happens most of the time. They do it out of their own free will.
Right.
Because maybe there are better opportunities. They go for business trips and so on and so forth. They like the place and they want to settle down there.
Yeah.
And this is normally the case, but here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to. He was forced. It wasn't that he was looking forward to leaving Makkah Mukarramah. He
compelled
was forced into
so.
It. Yes.
Allah Allah.
And when that happens, that is called hijrah. And the pain and the torture that he had to go through to come to this conclusion. And even then he awaited the command of Allah azza wa jalla. When it came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready to leave. And in the middle of all of this, the kuffar of Makkah, they conspired. They were busy in the conspiracies. Allahu Akbar. When the disbelievers of Makkah noticed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Muslims had supporters not only in Makkah but also in Medina, they feared that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might also go to Medina and return along with his troops to invade Makkah.
Allahu Akbar.
Therefore, in order to avoid this danger, the disbelievers of Makkah called a conference in the chamber where they attended that by each and every thinker and influential person in Makkah, in particular Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Utbah, Jubair bin Mut'im, Nadr bin Haris, Abu al-Bakhtari, Zam'ah bin Aswad, and these were the people that attended the conference. And the cursed Satan also partook in that conference. Any conference, any ploy, any, you know, act of treachery,
right,
any conspiracy against the beloved Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they may be humans, but they are in the form of human, but indirectly they are shaitans.
Yes.
And shaitan
Absolutely.
Joins such people.
Absolutely.
And the cursed shaitan, he disguised as an old man, he was wearing a blanket. He also reached the chamber. The leaders of Quraysh asked him about his name and family background. So he replied, what was his introduction? That I am a sheikh from Najd. I have come to attend the conference so that I will also give my opinion about this matter of yours. Listening to this, the leaders of Quraysh allowed Shaitan to attend the conference. During the conference, Abu al-Bakhtari suggested that they should, ma'azallah, detain Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a prison cell with his hand and legs tied and give him food and drink through an opening. The Shaykh from Najd, meaning Shaitan, he commented that it's not a good idea. It's not a good suggestion. By God, if you detain him in some house, this news will certainly leak out. And his loyal devotees, when informed about it, will get him released even by sacrificing their own lives.
Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Subhanallah. That was the opinion Shaitan had about Sahaba. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
They were the Sahaba who were ever ready to sacrifice everything, their lives, their wealth, anything for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu al-Aswad Rabi'ah bin Amr Amiri, he suggested that we should exile him from Makkah Mukarramah so that he will go to another city. In this way, we'll get rid of him and his recitation of the Holy Quran and his preaching of Islam. It will all stop. Listening to this, the Shaykh from Najd turned and he was annoyed and said, curse be upon this suggestion of yours. Don't you know how excellent, inspiring, and impressive and effective his preaching is?
Allah.
By God, if you exile him, he will visit the entire Arabia, preaching to people the Islam by reciting the Holy Quran. All the tribes will become obedient to him. He will then attack you with a huge army, and you will not be able to fight against him. Left with no other option, you will become his slaves. Hence, do not even think of exiling him. Abu Jahl, finally, who at the time was known as Abu al-Hikam,
right,
but Islam certified him as Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl said, my friends, I have come up with an idea which has not yet occurred to anyone else here. All of them became attentive and asked him. They were curious. What's your opinion? And he continued that, I am of the opinion that one famous and brave man be chosen from each and every tribe. Together, all of them will attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their swords, killing him. In this way, responsibility for his murder will be on the shoulders of all the tribes equally. Obviously, the Banu Hashim will not be able to fight against all the tribes in revenge for the murder. Hence, they will certainly accept the blood money, which will be paid by all of us jointly.
Allah.
Listening to this cruel suggestion of Abu Jahl, the Shaykh from Najd, he leaped with joy and said, it is indeed the perfect suggestion. No other suggestion can be acceptable. Therefore, all the attendees of the conference unanimously approved of it and bringing the conference to an end. Having made this decision, all of them returned to their homes. Mentioning it, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, and remember, O beloved, when the disbelievers were scheming against you to either imprison you or to assassinate you or to banish you. And they were scheming with their technique. And Allah was making his secret plan. And the secret plan of Allah is the best. Subhanallah. Wallahu khairul makirin.
Subhanallah.
What was Allah's plan? And the hidden plan of Allah. And inshallah azza wa jal, we shall explore on it further. How the all-powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turning the conspiracy of disbelievers and shaitan into complete failure. After the conference ended, the disbelievers went to their homes and Sayyidina Jibreel came and revealed the command of Allah azza wa jal that, O beloved, do not go to sleep on your bed tonight. Migrate to Medina.
Allah.
Hence, In the sunny afternoon, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to the home of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, I have to discuss something with you in private. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu humbly said, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. There is none except your spouse, meaning Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Till that time, the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha had taken place. And he said, O Abu Bakr, Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed me to migrate. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq humbly said, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Let me also have the privilege of accompanying you. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepted his request. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had been feeding the leaves of acacia tree to two camels for 4 months so that he, radiallahu ta'ala, along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would migrate. He was already preparing for the migration.
He planned.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And he humbly said, Ya Rasulullah, please accept one of these camels. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted, saying that, but I will pay you for it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq unwillingly but respectfully agreed to accept the payment. At that time, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was too young to make preparations for the journey. Hence, her elder sister, Sayyida Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is also known as Zatun Nataqatain, she arranged for the provisions and she kept food in the box. Then, tearing her waistband into two, she tied the box with one part of her waistband and the mouth of the water bag with the other. Therefore, hence, her name, Subhanallah, her title was given. And there was a disbeliever, Abdullah bin Uraiqat, who knew the routes very well. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hired him so that he would show the way.
Right.
You know, as a travel guide. And then handing over those two camels, Abdullah bin Uraiqat, to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that bring these two camels to the cave of Thawr after 3 nights. Mm-hmm. Having made all of those arrangements, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his blessed home. He went to sleep as it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He let Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala sleep in his place. And he gave him his green sheet to cover himself with. And then in the night, while the kuffar who had agreed on this plan that their brave men of their tribe will come, and we will besiege the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the attempt to assassinate him, ma'azallah. They were all there outside. Right. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after putting Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to sleep there, and he also told him of the trust that he had. You mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Al-Amin, subhanallah. To that extent, the enemies, they want to harm him, they want to kill him, they want to assassinate him. But he still protects their belongings.
Allah.
And he makes the will and he tells them that, you know, after I leave, you must go and distribute all of these belongings to whoever they belong.
Right.
And then after that, you can come to Madinah Munawwarah as well. So what happened? After he put Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in his bed, he comes out. He sees the kuffara there. He takes the sand in his Mubarak hand, and he recites the verses of the Holy Quran. He blows on it and throws the sand over the kuffar that were there.
Subhanallah.
And they can't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has likened the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his action. And mashallah. And there were so many challenges, Sayyidi, on his way to the migration when he was in the cave of Thawr.
Yeah, even at that point, Masab, during this migration, this blessed migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they reached the cave of Thawr, they entered, and first, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could even enter, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he first entered the cave in order to see that there is no dangerous creature that may harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, look at the love that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he put himself first in order not for any harm to be upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he enters the cave and he cleans it up. He tidies it. He makes it clean. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters. In this cave of Thawd, there were holes around it. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he does is that he places cloths, pieces of cloths in these holes to cover them up so that no snake, etc. can come out from these holes. After covering them up, there was one hole that was left open. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sits down, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests his blessed head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is now resting. That hole that was uncovered, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he places his heel on that hole as a covering. And as moments are going, time is going, a snake bit the heel of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Not once, but numerous times it bit the heel of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Thereafter, because, you know, of this immense pain and the severe pain, in the beginning he tried to hold it, tried to control it. He did not move in order not to disturb the rest and sleep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the pain got so intense and so severe, a tear rolled down from his cheek. And that tear fell onto the blessed cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he awoke. And he looked at the face of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, "Oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying?" And he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I did not want to disturb your sleep in the beginning, but because of the severe pain that I have due to being bitten by the snake, I could not control my tears." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he places his blessed saliva onto the heel of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he immediately gets cured from that, subhanallah. So in this interim, the enemies now, they are still looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they also come to the cave of Thawd. And when they come to the cave of Thawd, something very astonishing happens. And that is that when they came, they saw that there was a huge spider web at the mouth of the cave, covering it completely. And outside was a female pigeon, which laid eggs. And they looked at this and they said to themselves that there can be no human inside here. Because if there had been any human inside, then the spider web wouldn't have been here. And the female pigeon with her eggs, even that wouldn't be here. And then this is how, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from these kuffar of Makkah. And they left it and they ended up leaving this place.
Allah, but therefore, you know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and we call him Yari Ghar, the one who was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. There was nobody else with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those 3 days besides Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And that was the moment when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he felt that they are right there at the entrance. And it was so close that they would have found out
Allah.
That they are there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he expressed his fear. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq,
right.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana."
Subhanallah.
Don't be scared. Allah Azza wa Jal is with us. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, from that time, all the fear ran out of the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as to why the kuffar, they were so close, they were right at the entrance. They couldn't see. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, why they couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, "Jaan hai jaan kya nazar aaye?
Aye, aye, aye.
Kyon adu girde ghar phirte hai?"
Subhanallah.
That he is our life, subhanallah. You can't see life.
Allah, Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Such beautiful explanation is given by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And Sayyidi, there were many other obstacles, such as, you know, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarrama, and then later on they came to find out.
Right.
Right. When they approached, when they jumped in and they saw the Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who was there instead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also imprisoned him for some time and then they released him because...
interrogated him.
Yes.
Where is Rasulullah?
Yes.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. And they left him after that, and then they put up the reward of 100 camels for arresting and bringing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to get this huge reward, many greedy people, they started searching for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of them even traveled far and wide. And while they were searching for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was traveling towards Madina Munawwara, and during this journey, the next day, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the place called Qadid, where there was the home of Sayyida Umme Ma'bad, Atika binti Khalid Khuzayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was an elderly lady, and in the courtyard of her home, she would sit in a camp where she would serve the travelers with food and water. Mm-hmm. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to buy food from her, but she had nothing with her. He saw that there was a very weak goat that was there at the side of her home. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, "Does it produce milk, the goat that was there?" Umme Ba'bad, she replied, "She doesn't." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says to her, "Should I milk it if you allow me?"
Allah.
And she allowed. She said, "No problem." And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he touched the udder of this goat by reciting Bismillah, in an instant the udder was full of milk, so much so that the milk was taken from the goat that all of the people that were present there, they drank, and all the pots of Sayyida Umme Ma'bad were full of milk. Seeing this mu'jiza and the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Umme Ma'bad and her husband, they embraced Islam.
Subhanallah.
It is narrated that this goat of Umme Ma'bad remained alive until 18 Hijri. Look at how, alhamdulillah, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, they preserved the entire, they documented the entire history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even everything, something like a goat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched, even that they documented.
So that, captivating.
Yes.
Allah.
Until what time that goat lived? It remained alive until the year 18 Hijri and continued to produce milk. During the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a severe drought known as Hamur Rimad, it occurred, in which there was no milk in the udders of any animal. Even at that time, this goat continued to produce milk every morning and every evening. Subhanallah. And say, this was a little incident that happened on the way, but people were still searching for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was this young man, if you could inshallah enlighten us about, you know, how he approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, he had given him the glad tiding of the future, a prophecy, subhanallah, that will occur in the future. Sayyidina Suraqa, and he was the one who tried to trace Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was going and on his way,
he was the famous horseman.
Yes, famous horseman. So what happened to him, Sayyidi? After he went in the search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he really succeed in his pursuit?
Well, Masab, in this regard, you know, Suraqa, he was a famous horseman, right? And of course, when the price was put out, that 100 camels, that person will get who captures Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Suraqa, he went out with this intention in order to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes out. But before coming to this aspect of it, Murasab, you know, it's so important to note and to realize the amount of difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undergone during this entire migration.
Allah.
I mean, it is so immense. I mean, you have the kuffar after you. All of them are looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to capture him, in order to have him assassinated. So much of difficulties, yet we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not show any fear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still continued on his mission and still moved on.
You see, the bravery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that the Sahaba say that, you know, if any forces that would come to attack or anything like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first to respond.
Allah, Allah.
He would be forward when everybody was scared for it. Rasulullah will be the one to go forward. Subhanallah. Hear what the leaders do. Leaders usually,
right,
in today's time and age, worldly leaders I'm talking about.
Right.
They would never go forward. They would send the guards, they would send the soldiers or whoever, the securities and everything, to test the grounds, to test the waters, and then only they will step out of the car or plane or whatever it is. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most supreme leader of all humanity,
Allah,
subhanallah, and he sets the example that this is the leader.
Subhanallah.
Any fear, no, in the face of the fear, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go, and he would be the first one to respond. And mashallah, it happened, and during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the case of Suraqa,
right,
Suraqa, who was yet not a Muslim, and therefore he went in the pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him his miracle. He commanded the horse, it sank. Then Suraqa's body sank, Allahu Akbar. And then he sought refuge from Rahmatul Lil Alameen.
Allah,
and look
Allah
at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who is after him, after his life, he gives up on him. He says, no, you can go, it's fine. And then he finally gives up the pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he believes in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises him that you are after 100 camels. I'll promise you something greater. The bangles of Kisra.
Allah, Allah.
They would be given to you. How would you like that? And he accepted that. And after that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his way to Madinah Munawwara, and he stopped pursuing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from then onwards.
Right.
And it so happened, look at the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as he promised him that he sees the bangles of Kisra in his hand, and bangles are not allowed for any man to wear, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was specifically for him that was allowed. When in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was conquered and the bangles were brought, Sayyidina Umar gave it to him. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised you.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Look at how the Mubarak words of the beloved Mustafa, the truest words ever spoken. He doesn't speak anything out of his whims and fancies. He speaks that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to say.
And yet how immensely merciful and generous Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is.
Subhanallah.
Allah.
And mashallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reaches Madinah Munawwara. First of all, he stops at Quba, and Masjid al-Quba was founded. And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Madinah Munawwara, where the Sahaba had been waiting for days.
Allah,
in Madinah Munawwara, the people of Madinah were already aware that the greatest and the holiest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had departed from Makkah. And they were excited and enthusiastic to host Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Men, women, children would look forward to his arrival, and they were very anxious and eager to behold the Mubarak beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would go out of the city in the early morning every day and would wait for him. And you know, as it would get hot, then with a sad face they would come back in the afternoon. And then one day, when they were there and they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from far, flag was being waved, Allahu Akbar, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is arriving. mashallah, and the children, they started singing Tala al Badru alayna min thaniyatil wada, wajab al shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da, ayyuhal mabusu fina jita bin amril muta, jita sharraft al madina, marhaban ya khaira da. Subhanallah, in the melodious voice, and they were all rejoicing in the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Salman Farsi, who climbed a tree.
Right.
Perhaps breaking dates from the tree. And he was the slave of a Jewish person there. And when he heard the commotion in Medina Munawwara, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, and he had been searching for Rasulullah. He was there for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, inshallah, this is something for another time, the details of it. But when he heard that somebody came to this man's house and said that the Prophet that they were waiting for is arriving. And when he heard that, he came down from the tree.
Allah.
Just in the happiness of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being a slave. I mean, he had no business with it.
Yeah.
Because the master told him to go, right, go do something. But he couldn't
hold
the excitement
he was
seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes and enters Medina Munawwara in a grand manner. And everyone was enthusiastic to hold Rasulullah and host him. And each one is pulling the rein of his camel. MashaAllah, Sayyidi, what was, in a few words, inshallah, we have like last 2 minutes, inshallah, Azzawajal, about the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara.
So what, imagine what that scene must have been like. Allahu Akbar, you know, everyone there welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, you know, due to their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all wanted him to stay at their house.
Allah.
But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them that let my she camel loose and it will stop where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands it to stop. And that is the house where I will stay. And one of an interesting fact is that this house was actually built thousands of years ago.
Subhanallah.
By a king by the name of Tubba. King Tubba, he heard of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became so in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had this house built many thousand years ago for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the exact same house which he had built, and the same house in which the she camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. This is the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, and now the time has come to an end. We will now go towards the conclusion. And the conclusion is that we, as the devotees of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recite and read his kalima, how much do we know about our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, that is the question. And if you feel that you need to learn, these were some of the things which you have never heard in your life, then the time to read his biography, his seerah, is now. Start reciting Quran. Quran will tell you about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahadith will tell you about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, if you claim to love him, then get to know him as well. Subhanallah. Because yes, we have this obligation upon us that, you know, somebody asks you, who's your leader? Whose kalima you read? And you tell them, I read the kalima of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was he? What does it say?
Blank.
Yes. You don't know anything about who's the person whose kalima you read. The one who will safeguard you against the fire of hell. You don't know him. You don't know anything about him. But you know everything about anybody you living in your neighborhood, the counselor of your city. You know plenty of details about them.
Yeah.
But you don't know about that personality who's our master, subhanallah, in whose court we send salawat every day. We don't know him. It is actually, astonishing and shocking that we as Muslims, we don't know much about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, azza wa jal, try. And Maktabatul Madina is there. Try and visit the website of Dawat Islami, dawatislami.net. Download books that are on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, azza wa jal, it will, inshallah, the day your journey will start. And then you will fall in love with this amazing personality that ever walked on the surface of this earth.
Subhanallah.
That is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.